Morning, everyone. Actually, grafting is an old and well-established horticulture practice with a history of over 3,000 years. Today, I'm going to give you some update on the potential of transgrafting to extend the use of genetic engineering for horticulture crops. So, what are transgrafted plants? And what are the genetically engineered products in these transgrafted plants? Are these GE products, they are mobile or immobile? The answers to these questions are the key to address the biosafety concerns on transgrafted plants. So far as we know, transgenic papaya with virus resistance is still the only commercialized transgenic GM fruit crop. Virus resistance PLARM was deregulated in 2005 but was not released. And the non-browning apple developed through silencing the PPO gene was deregulated early this year, but it still stirred up a wave of debate over GE fruits. So in general, about safety, public concerns and the regulatory issues are main barriers for developing and adoption of a GM horticulture crop. This is why new GE strategies cisgenesis, intragenesis, and grafting on GM rootstocks and genome editing like CRISPR-Cas9 are desirable because they can help to address the public concerns. So actually, the idea of grafting on GM rootstock started, in 1991. Transgrafting is a term used by in literature by a UC Davis group, refers to grafting on GM rootstock. In fact, from a broader sense, if we see transgrafting is joining a GE part with a non-GE plant parts, then a transgrafted plant can be either non-transgenic sign grafted on transgenic rootstock or transgenic sign grafted on non-transgenic rootstock. Right? There's two options. So if the GE products, either in the rootstock or in the sign, they cannot come across the graft union and either go long distance transport, we call this is a immobile GE products. Apparently, immobile transgenic products pose almost no concerns on the GE products in the non-GE parts of a transgrafted plant. So, conversely, mobile transgenic products, they can either from rootstock or from transgenic sign, if they can cross the graft union, there's a concern. Actually, there's a mobile transgenic products include it's well documented in vital hormones, small eyes. They were already well documented in transgrafted model plants, but not in woody plants. As I said, mobile transgenic products is a concern for the grafted plants. So we started a project to develop transgenic sweet cherry rootstock with virus resistance. So we use RNAi strategy. If the small interference RNAs can stay in the transgenic parts, and then if they are immobile, then there is no concerns. For the transgenic products in the non-transgenic sign. So we will get non-GM fruits on the sign. Conversely, if the small RNAs can be transported to the top, then we can anticipate the small RNAs somehow can get they can cleave the virus, and the sign should get virus resistance, right? So we choose a candidate is a Prunus necrotic reinforced virus. This is a ELA virus. alert viruses, and this virus is very common in all cherry production area in the world, and the host plants include many other pruners species. So this is the TDN region of our vector. You can see here, this is 35S promoter by like a hairpin structure to produce mRNAs, and MPT2 is a selective marker for kannamycin selection. And then we use the rootstock is GCLR6 and GCLR7. GCLR6 is a main half-dwarf sweet cherry rootstock. It shows some tolerance to PNRS way, and GCLR7 it's susceptible to PNRS way. So transformation was conducted using LeafX plants, and we used the Agrobacterium EHU105 to deliver the transgenes. And selection was conducted using kannamycin 30 milligram per liter. And gene delivery is very efficient. If you see the blue color here, this is gas gene. That is very efficient for gene delivery using Agrobacterium. And here, you see here the arrows here. The selection using kannamycin is very effective. Then we get a lot of transgenic shoots with kannamycin resistance. And this is the expression of the marker gene. This is gas gene. So with this system, we get like a transformation. It's about 1 to 5%. So with this transformation system, we got 24 transgenic events for GCLR6 and GCLR7. So here's the example our virus inoculation experiment. This is on GCLR7. As I mentioned earlier, GCLR7 is susceptible to PNRS way. When we inoculated the plants, we wild-type plants with a PNRS way isolate CH39, the non-transgenic plants, they died in 1 year, and within 1 year, if you look at the transgenic, they are still healthy. And after 1 year, it's amazing that if we did like the ELISA analysis, the transgenic plants, we couldn't detect any like the virus symptoms. That means the mRNA completely signed all the virus we inoculated after 1 year. So apparently RNA interference strategy is very effective for us to develop virus resistance in cherry rootstock. So to get transgrafted plants, so we did bud grafting using a sweet cherry cultivar called Imperial Francis. So we get sweet cherry grafted plants, and the inoculation was conducted using the bark grafting. This position is about 20 centimeters above the grafting union. So after 1 year, phenotypically, we did see some transgrafted plants. They showed some tolerance or some resistance to the virus inoculation, but there were some of them, they died. But when we did some molecular analysis using Norzen, we couldn't detect any transverse mRNAs in the non-transgenic sign part. So that makes us we are not very confident about the resistance. And until we did mRNA sequencing, what we did, we took the buds, it's about 1.2 meters high from a grafted cherry tree. On the top, we take the buds and extract RNAs and then did mRNA sequencing. So here's the profiles of the mRNAs, 20 to 24 nucleotide. Here, this mRNAs is from hairpin region and non-hairpin region of our of the PNRS way. I will show you later in the next slide a diagram of this structure of the it's genomic RNA3 of PNRS way. So this is the profile of the mRNA. These are TR is transgenic rootstock itself. This is a transgenic rootstock itself. These are the different transgrafted plants. AR is non-transgenic rootstock, and signs, all the signs are non-transgenic. And here is transgenic rootstock, and this is a non-transgenic sign. And the highlight in this slide, if you can see here, is in transgenic rootstock, the 24 nucleotides, mRNAs, there is a large portion, it's this group. And you see that this is in transgenic rootstock, in grafted, in the non-transgenic rootstock, and the sign, this is grafted plants, this is just gives like 0.6, that's rate per million rate. And if you look at here, this is the transgenic rootstock, this sign, this gives 4.56. So this gave us a preliminary, like some evidence, it seems like small RNA is D-word transferred to the top. So more evidence is in this slide. If you see, I told you guys, this is like the diagram of the like the genomic RNA-3 of PNRS3. That's why we use this sequence as a reference to search the small RNAs. So non-Harbin pin region, that means it's in the virus, but it's not in our vector. Harbin region is that's used in our construct. So if you look at this is a transgenic rootstock. If you see the this is a 24 nucleotide small RNAs. This is the profile. You see we see a lot of like small RNAs from here. They have different start points, and here you can see that there's one type of small RNAs that gives like 444 reads per million reads. So this peak is very significant. But if you look at the transgrafted plants, this is a transgenic rootstock, this is a sign, we can see this group of small RNAs. We can see this peak. So this peak is very significant. There's no other source. It must be from rootstock. And then you look at the control, this non-transgenic rootstock and the sign, there is a couple of rays there, but it's not like there's no significant peak like this way. Okay, and this is like another one, this non-transgenic sign and inoculated with PNRS way. And you see, we still can see like a small peak there. Oh, sorry. This non-transgenic rootstock and non-transgenic sign. When we did a PNRS3 inoculation, we couldn't see the peak. But if you look at here carefully, you can see some rates. It's in the non-harping region. Okay, that means there's no peak. It's so obvious. But if you take a look at like the transgenic rootstock grafted with non-transgenic sign, we see this peak. We also see this like peak matched with this big peak. And this peak, it gives us like very, very strong evidence that small RNA is transported to the non-transgenic sign. And then this makes it easier for us to interpret our phenotype changes in the transgrafted plants after we did like inoculation. So for example, like we did inoculation using two different like PNRS3. One is like it's a mild string of PNRS3 full 10 G. This is only PNRS3. This is mild. It's not as strong as a CH39. You see all the transgrafted plants they survived after 1 year of inoculation, but for the control they died. Okay, but CH39 is a high virulent like it's isolate, it's not a string because it's a carbonation of a PNRS way and a PD way. So in this case, some transgrafted two transgrafted lines they died and this one is still alive. And this picture is showing this one is you see CH39 it's infected, it's died, but the transgrafted plants is still alive. So there is something I think this is true. It's based on the molecular evidence and based on the phenotype changes. So we did some correlation analysis of like the amount of small RNA is produced in the root and the small RNA is we detected in the sign. This is a correlation. It's a positive correlation. You see the R square is very high. This means that based on this equation, that means if we have 1,000 small RNAs in transgenic rootstock, there will be five will be delivered to the top. In fact, like even like endogenous small RNAs in grafted plants, not transgrafted, in regular grafted plants, there are exchanges of small RNAs. For example, this is we did further analysis of our small RNA date, you know, rather than the PRS way. So we found 170, we found there are small RNAs from 157 genes, you know, from the side parts, we found this in the rootstock. I'm using this to say, like, endogenous small RNAs, they can exchange in the grafted plants. So not only the transgene-derived small RNAs, but also the endogenous small RNAs. So, in terms of safety concerns, this depends on the amount, the number of small RNAs or the amount of foreign gene products. If you look at here, this is a transgenic rootstock, and when we did the total small RNA calculation, scaled like about 2,000. If you look at like the controls, there's some read errors, but anyways, there's some reads. It's 10, and this is transgenic rootstock, and the sign, then you get 15. It's let's say 16. In reality, it's like the sweet cherry. As I mentioned earlier, PRS way is common in all cherry production areas. When the cherry, for most cherry orchard, when the tree age reached like 10 to 12 years, they have the infection. Once they get an infection, you see the small RNAs. Here we found like 760. This is only small RNAs. We know there's some proteins, some big mRNAs is also included. This is only the RNA3 sequence. There are RNA1 and RNA2. There are many. We eat a lot of like this type of PRS with small RNAs, you know, when in the cherries. So to summarize my presentation today is both mobile and immobile like GE products have potential to improve transgrafted plants. And immobile GE products, they are not present in non-transgenic parts of the transgenic transgrafted plants. But if it's mobile, cisgenic or intragenic products, they might not be considered as a new risk. Mobile transgenic products could have little impact on environmental or food safety. As I said, it's about like 5 out of 1,000 for small RNAs. And transgrafting is a way to expand the use of genetic engineering for horticulture crops. With this, I would thank like the MSU Green Project support this research. I would also thank like the organizer for giving me this opportunity to present here. Thank you very much.